Our first reading this morning is from the very first book in our Bible, Genesis, and is part of the second of the creation stories, the one that has Adam and Eve. You will recognize the story right away and has given rise to all sorts of good and bad ideas over the centuries. What you may have overlooked is the humor in the way the story is told. Humor is very much present in all the Genesis stories. Open your minds and hearts now, and allow the Word of God to find you as we share our version of these verses. The Lord God put man in the Garden of Eden to take care of it and to look after it. But the Lord told him, "You may eat the fruit from any tree in the garden except the one that has the power to let you know the difference between right and wrong. If you eat any fruit from that tree, you will die before the day is over." Now the snake was sneakier than any other of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day it came to the woman and said,
"Did God tell you not to eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?"
"Oh, no, not at all. God said we could eat fruit from any tree in the garden except the one in the middle. He told us not to eat fruit from that tree or even to touch it. If we do, we will die."
"Oh, please. You won't die. God knows what will happen when you eat fruit from that tree. You will understand many things. You'll know the difference between right and wrong just like God does. You will be like God."
"Really? Whoa."
The woman stared carefully at the fruit. It looked beautiful and tasty. Wanting the wisdom it would give her, she ate just a little bit. Her husband was nearby.
"Honey, how about a snack? It's really yummy."
So, yes, he ate it too. Right away, they saw what they had done, and they realized they were naked. They quickly sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves.
Our second reading comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Again, this will be a very familiar passage at the start of Lent. Because we have heard it so often, it can be a challenge to listen for God's word. So let's give it a try this way. Right after he was baptized by John, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wild to be tested. Jesus began by fasting 40 days and 40 nights and was, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the tempter took advantage of in the first test.
"Since you are God's son, all you need to do is speak the word, and this front row of people will become tasty hot loaves of bread."
Yay.
Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy.
"Life is more than food for the body. It takes a steady stream of words from God."
For the second test, the devil took him to the holy city. He sat him on top of the temple.
"Since you are
He goaded him by quoting Psalm 91.
He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't so much as stub your toe.
Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy.
Don't ever try to test the Lord your God.
For the third test, the tempter took him to the peak of a huge mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out all the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were.
They're all yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just get down on your knees and worship me, and they are yours.
Beat it, Satan.
He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy.
Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness.
The testing was over. The tempter left, and in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus.
Spirit that drove Jesus out, drive us out as well from the places that we would hide comfortably. We wait for your light and peace. Amen. All over Christianity, men and women are mounting pulpits like this one to preach from the Matthew text, and perhaps if they're brave, the Genesis text. And I was fascinated to read on Facebook some of the things that my colleagues and friends are planning to do. One caught my attention in particular. One of my friends who will be preaching this morning, probably already has, in Connecticut, planned to step into the pulpit and plunk something right on the side of the pulpit. And we have a picture of it. Anyone tempted by Thin Mints? You may remember last year the refrigerator in the kitchen had quite a few boxes of Thin Mints. That's because I'm married to a woman who cannot go by a Girl Scout display with Thin Mints on it without buying not one, not two, but three or five or six, and then gets home and repents and drops them in my lap and says, do something with them. 1 year I opened up a box and opened up a sleeve and started in on them. That's not what I had in mind, she said. Hence the refrigerator. Well, in case that's tempting for you, I have a plan for this morning's coffee hour after the service. I have developed something, and I have a picture of that too. Oh, I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do it. I would like to think with you very briefly this morning about not so much temptation. You know, when we say temptation, we think about the seven deadly sins, and we think the issue is just say no, right, to lust, greed, gluttony, envy, anger, pride, and sloth. We're pretty well covered on those. And replace them with chastity, generosity, temperance, gratitude, acceptance, humility, and diligence. Well, on one level, that's probably what temptation is all about. But the scripture says something a little more nuanced than that. It says the Spirit, did you catch that? The Spirit drove Jesus out into the wild place. To be tested. I'd like to talk with you about the wild place, because you may be in one right now. The wild place is where certainties have been left behind and we're not sure what's out there. The wild place is where nothing is quite as certain, where we no longer know the things we thought we did once. Where we have new decisions to make with data that has come to us for the first time. The wild place is where we must rely on God and maybe some trusted brothers and sisters because there's no one else. Wild places come on us unexpectedly, maybe even at the front door coming into worship. Wild places make themselves known in the middle of the night. Anyone been there? When the eyes pop open and the questions rattle around inside our minds and hearts, and we really don't know what to do, but oh my, we are tempted in lots of different directions. Or tested, actually, I think is a better word. A couple of things I would say about these wild places and this business of testing. The first is, expect it. It's normal. It's good. I don't think you can follow God, especially in the person of Jesus the Christ, more than two or three steps down life's journey without running into a test. It's just a given. It's how it is. The Spirit of God takes us from those comfortable certainties, especially the ones wrapped thinly in layers of judgment of those who are different, and takes us to a place where we're not sure anymore who we are or maybe where we're going. It was this test Jesus faced, and his tester was ready. In the time of testing, we have to choose whether we will focus primarily on ourselves or on the needs of others. That's not an easy test. Because if we focus too much on others, what happens to us? We get washed away in the process. And yet, on the other hand, if we focus solely or primarily on ourselves, what happens? We hollow out on the inside, and life becomes dry dust. And a very empty, lonely walk indeed. Jesus offered all the kingdoms of the world. Whoa, think about that. Chose instead a deeper, richer path. In our time of testing, we will do well to remember the importance of the scriptures. Jesus chose to quote the book of Deuteronomy. I don't know how many of us would do that. I don't do that very often. But there are scores of other scriptures. I wonder if you have one that's a key scripture for your life. Some of you do, I know, because you have quoted it to me. If you don't, I challenge you to go on a quest for one. And even if it's only for this stage of the journey, it can come in very, very handy. Not so that you can avoid lust or sin, or gluttony or greed or any of those, that list of seven, but rather so that you can see beneath the surface of the present moment and remember that others have walked this journey before you and there is great help and power available to you. Never underestimate the power of the scriptures. And if you're particularly daring, you might even reach out to other sacred texts, and there are many around us. Other faiths have wonderful writings, rich and deep in wisdom. Occasionally, a sermon will even carry the Word of God for you. Or a film, or a great book, or a conversation over one of those chocolate decadence things. Never, ever, ever doubt the importance of the Scriptures. This is a time, a wild place, a time of testing. It is for me. Approaching the possibility of many new things in life, I'm not quite sure what to do. What will life be like on a Sunday morning when I'm not in a place like this and I haven't done all the things that made me look semi-crazed 2 hours ago in this building? I'm not sure. It'll be a wild place for a while, and for you as well, as you contemplate a whole new chapter of your life about to unfold. Wild places can be scary. There are all sorts of things living out there, and if you listen to my wife, you'll know that every one of them will come and eat you up in the middle of the night. Much better to stay at the Hilton. But that's not where the Spirit sends us. It sends us to a wild place where we can count on being tested. Thanks be to God. The goal in all of this is to follow Jesus and find abundant life and live with balance, if not clarity, even in the midst of wild testing. Shall we turn back and go to the Hilton? Oh, I'm tempted, but I think not. Instead, let's come to the table. May it be so. Amen.